Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us pass the peace. If you would please stand and speak to the person next to you, the person across the aisle from you, in front of you, behind you. Give them God's peace. Welcome them to Main Street. Now, if you will take your seat and let us continue with our preparation for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside top of your bulletin. I have several announcements I'd like to call to your attention. If you will open your bulletin and check on the inside where we have our music notes. The gathering program for November the 16th and December the 7th, one of the items that you can do is to come and help us pack pills for Dr. Skinner's Honduras mission trip. And if you are interested in going on that mission trip, you need to immediately get in touch with Dr. Skinner. I also want to point out the community Thanksgiving service that's listed there in your bulletin for the announcements. I also want to make a correction. The newsletter said that the United Methodist Men would be meeting on Thursday the 15th. Well, if you check your calendar, you notice it's Tuesday the 15th. So that's correct in the bulletin. You need to make a circle there, and you need to let people know if you're planning on coming. Notice it's a free dinner. It's going to be an excellent program, but it's also going to have a free dinner. So they would kind of like to know how many people are coming. The 20th, we will be decorating and preparing for the hanging of the greens. And if you noticed in your newsletter, again this year, we are asking for folks to bring blankets. If you would like to give a blanket, you don't want to wrap it up, you can put a cord around it, and those blankets will be placed under the tree during one of the portions of the hanging of the greens service. Now, let us continue with our worship service by listening to the prelude and as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. Will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. Let us worship God, our light and salvation. We desire to live in God's house and to seek God in His holy temple. Let us worship God in spirit and in truth. Teach us your ways and make straight our paths in this hour of worship and always.
Join with me, please, in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. God of all wisdom, our hearts yearn for the warmth of your love, and our minds search for the light of your word. Increase our longing for Christ our Savior, and strengthen us to grow in love, that at the dawn of his coming we may rejoice in his presence and welcome the light of his truth. That we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And join together in our traditional affirmation of faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternal begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified unto Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead in the life of the world to come. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Today's epistle reading is from Paul's first letter to Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Listen now to this reading from God's Word. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in the darkness, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep at night and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God had destined us not for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up each other, as indeed you are doing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you please stand for the gospel reading? The gospel comes from Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. For it as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But the master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents, for to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The word of the God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, as we come in this time of worship, we're so thankful for this hour that calls us away from those cares of life that clamor for our attention. For these sacred moments, when we proclaim you as Lord of Lords, for these moments when we hear the word being read and songs being sung, to let your holy presence rain upon our souls as rain upon a thirsty ground. That calls us away from our selfish world and to turn our eyes upon the field that is ripe unto the harvest. It causes us to realize that we are called to be our brother and our sister's keeper and to use the talents that have been given to us. We acknowledge, dear God, that each one of us is uniquely different, a creation of God, precious and holy indeed. And we thank you this day, dear God, for every life here gathered in this assembly and for those everywhere. And we pray, dear God, for those who do not respect the sanctity of life and for those who clamor to be free. We pray, O God, for courage in the face of overwhelming odds. And we give you thanks for those veterans who have served our land in our nation, in the face of overwhelming obstacles and fear and hunger and thirst. And we thank you, dear God, for the freedom mainly today of worship. And we pray for those who do not see or understand the need to cherish that precious freedom. And we pray, Almighty God, that as we worship here, that our hearts and our minds would be united into one accord as on the day of Pentecost. That we would experience the unifying bond of your holy presence that will indeed cause us to be a church focused on ministry and mission. Use us, Almighty God. Bless those within our church family who are sick and suffering and recovering from surgeries, those whose hearts are heavy because of the loss of loved ones, and yet the assurance that those who have passed from this realm of existence now abide in your holy habitation, where we too one day shall be. Again, we pray for those in leadership over us, both within our church and within our civil government, trusting in you, dear God, to lead and touch the hearts of people everywhere. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithes and offerings. Ushers, would you come, please?
Thank you.
Holy Lord, as we come before this, your sacred altar, to bring these gifts, the gifts of our hands, the results of our labors, to be sanctified to you, given to you for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Bless these gifts. Bless the giver and those who chose not, or those who had not to give this day. Use it all for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message. We invite the children to come to the front.
Our boxes up here, and Trace, why don't you come over here to one of these boxes and put your money in. And somebody reminded me last week that if some of you children would come up the aisle a little slower, that sometimes people want to give you money and you're coming up so quickly that they don't have time to get it out of their pocket and give it to you. So let's try to do that next week. Well, I had a story for you today. And it was about our cow that we're trying to buy. Remember, how much does it cost? $500. Do you know how much we have so far? A bunch? Is that what you said? Oh, how much? We have right under $250, which is almost half of it. We almost have half the money. And this morning, I was going to challenge our congregation to see if we can buy that cow before Christmas. You think we can do that? You think we can do that? It's taken us a while to get to 250, but I think that we can do that. Then, someone told me a secret yesterday. They said that they had this pig. Cecilia, you want to try to pick that pig up? And they had been putting money in this pig for years, several years. And I had Jimmy weigh it this morning. How much did it weigh?
24 pounds.
24 pounds. I know that Mr. Curitan is not going to be happy to get this pig full of money. But anyway, let Jimmy hold it up. Oh, let Jimmy hold it up. Okay, well, let him try. So, do you think that there's $250 of change in there? Do you think we're going to be able to make it by Thanksgiving? Well, hopefully we can get all of this money counted this week, and we'll see how close we are and see if we're going to be able to make it, okay? Y'all are doing a great job. And our gospel lesson today was a parable of the talents. And it's a series of several different parables that Jesus tells. And he's trying to tell the people and explain to them how they're to live, how they're to live for God, how they're to be prepared for the second coming of Christ, and what they're supposed to be doing, and to take what they have and make the best of it. So that's what we're doing. We're bringing our money to help someone else. Do we get to keep the cow? No, it gets to go to someone, and then it will help that family raise money by giving it milk, and they can turn around and sell that. So you are doing exactly, and our congregation is doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. But maybe this pig is going to take us over the top. So we need to be thinking about what kind of animal we want to buy next. Okay? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for blessing us and having us share with others. Thank you for the adults who teach us how to live by following Jesus' example. In Jesus' name, amen.
Since this week we had Veterans Day, I ask everyone but our veterans to be seated, please. Veterans, remain standing. And won't you show them your appreciation, please? I would give you an order to be seated, but it's been a long time ago for some of you, so we'll just say, y'all be seated, please. I enjoy watching the talent search, the audition for America's Got Talent. Seems like it's the auditions that I get excited about, for it seems like somewhere along the way in the process of the program that I lose interest. But I love to watch those who come on with all different looks and styles, and some who don't look like they can sing or they can have a talent, and bazinga, there they go, and things are happening, and they run out of the building, and they have this ticket, and they're waving it, and they're on their way to Las Vegas or Hollywood or wherever it is they go for their performance to see if they can move on. I do remember one morning enjoying my traditional cup of coffee and watching some of the morning news when they talked about a similar program in Britain called Britain's Got Talent. And here was this very plain Jane, as we say sometimes here, lady who was not well polished, and they said, "You are going to be shot." I remember some of the interview as they were talking to her, and you could tell that those who were interviewing her were not too captivated, for she was a rather older lady than most who participate in the talent search. And I remember vividly when they gave her the go-ahead. "Okay, let's hear what you've got." And wow. The rest was history. Now a talent that is no longer hidden from the world. The voice almost of an angel. Susan Boyle came out of the shadows. As I read this section of Scripture, I think about Christians who have hidden talents. The nomination committee has been working diligently, and tomorrow is that day that many ministers fear and work so hard for during the year, called Charge Conference. I do not know if I have worked with a nomination committee in my entire ministry that has spent so many productive hours in conversations with each other, on the phone with many of you. And this process, as I've already alluded to, is not a strange process for those of us who are called Methodists. Some changes are occurring that I will not go into this morning in the pulpit, but the changes that I do have with conviction that are in the right direction for our church. I will say that as a minister, as I was sharing with some of my staff a few weeks ago, and I was talking about my level of expectation as a minister for those who are laboring within the church and within certain areas, and I will tell you this morning that I only want you working in areas that you find fulfilling. I want you to work in areas that you find enjoyable. I do not want you working in areas that you find intimidating. I want you to work in those areas that does not sap your strength, but rather is energy producing. An area that is for you a joy. A joy that excites you, a joy that causes you to be enthused about what you're doing, and to hardly acknowledge that not all of us have the same talents. We have those within our congregation who have taught, and some of you have taught in Sunday school classes and different groups and Wednesday night Bible studies and other areas for a long time. To reach out my hand and ask some of you to teach would cause you to go into a shell. Your knees would turn wobbly. Your mouth would get dry. It's not your area. It's not your talent. To ask some of you to be here in the mornings and to greet those who come in the door and to welcome new visitors and to make sure that everyone knows how much we enjoy you being a part of the family here at Main Street might force some of you to reconsider where you're going to attend church. Or to ask others of you to cook a meal would be an immediate turnoff, possibly making some of us sick. It could possibly, again, be the impetus that pushes you and your family out of the door of Main Street. In today's reading, the servants have been given money, and many of you know this story so well, and you've heard it this morning again. And so I don't want us to focus where many persons focus on the one person who got the one talent and did nothing. I prefer for us to focus today on the reality that we all have talents. The church is always in need of persons who, with humility, serve God and minister within the church and the community. Within our districts, everyone that I have been a part of, we have had what is called job function workshops, where we endeavor to help persons fulfill their positions within the church. There always seems to be a shortage of people with needed talents to serve in needed areas within the church. In the last several years, I've taken on that radical opinion that if we don't have individuals in the church with talents willing to serve in certain areas, then we need to reassess what we're trying to achieve as a church. And maybe that's an area where God is not pushing us, but rather it's to listen. To listen to how God is speaking to you and the direction where indeed we might need to go as a church. If each one of us has a talent, all of our talents are not the same. They are some in this church who paint beautiful pictures. There are some here who sing or play music wonderfully. I've already alluded, there are some who cook and others who achieve mechanical tasks. And sometimes when you come here, you find them in areas where you say, "And what are you doing there?" Some go out during the week and are building ramps. Others are growing things in a community garden. The list of talents seemingly are endless. Some come in here and fill pews with pencils and envelopes. Others write notes of encouragement. All the cards and letters and calls that I received during my recent illness meant so much to me. And I am still getting notes from friends and parishioners in other towns that just discovered I had an illness. In the disaster response area, one talent that I have learned that is needed is for people not necessarily to go and build and do what they call mucking out, which is washing out mud from floods and all different other types of things. But sometimes it's for people to go and to sit down with individuals who have experienced tragedy and to talk to them. to listen to their pain. In one church that I served, there was a need for firemen during the daytime, and I found myself becoming a volunteer fireman. One thing that I realized being a volunteer fireman, that there was someone there who needed not necessarily to go in the house and fight the fire or the structure, but sometimes it was to find where the family was, to find out where the little boy or girl was, and ask the mom or the dad, "Now, where is your pocketbook? Where are those things in the family that are precious? Where is your favorite toy? Is there a pet in the house that we need to be aware of?" And you always see the smile and the excitement when out would come the pocketbook and out would come the little doll or whatever. Because in talking with me, they had told me where it was and I could go and tell the captain. And enabled others to fight the fire. We have some here in the church and in the community that helps individuals fill out tax returns. Some within our church have received all types of training in business, and they bring talents to the church. If I ask those of you who have been a part of the church family for any length of time, who is the best hugger in the church? Where does she stand on Sunday mornings? Who would you say? And Joy. Yeah. Fred and Joy. Whenever we think of someone visiting those persons in need, not only within our church, within the community. I was in the hospital the other day and a gentleman had come walking down the hall and he visited certain rooms and they said, "Do we have anybody in the church that does that?" And I said, "Yep, his name is Fred." I have shared this with you before, but it always comes back to my mind at times like this. Several years ago, I was allowed to attend an NA, a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. If 11 persons were at the meeting, there were 10 hugs coming in and 10 hugs going out, which equaled to 20 hugs. It's a part of their journey. It's a part of their journey toward wholeness. We all, no matter who we are, as we have alluded to this morning, no matter what our age, we all have talents. And we're all equal in the eyes of God. And we're all guaranteed equal rights under our Constitution. In an election year, we each have an equal vote. But when it comes to our abilities, we're different. We're as different as we possibly could be. God did not make us all the same. Maybe there are some persons here who have 5 talents. Maybe there are some of you who can only handle 1 talent. I went to a funeral of a friend of mine the other day, and his friends stood up and spoke about his life. And they said this about Bert. They said Bert was one person who could handle 4 or 5 things equally well. And in the process of sharing with him, you would experience him working 3 or 4 different things all at the same time. He was an amazing, maybe one of a kind creation of God. There are those of us who have great intellectual capabilities. Some of us are not as smart as others. There are some who have the ability to project and articulate their thoughts. Some cannot. There are some who are physical specimens. Some who are very attractive. Others of us are weaker and not so attractive. The important thing to remember is that each servant was given something. There's this lovely story told of a 38-year-old scrub woman who would go to the movies and sigh, "Oh, if I only had her looks." She would listen to a singer and moan and say, "If I only had her voice." Then one day someone gave her a copy of a book called The Magic of Believing. She stopped comparing herself with actresses and singers. She stopped crying about what she didn't have and started concentrating on what she did have. She took inventory of herself and remembered that in high school, she had a reputation for being the funniest girl around. She began to turn her liabilities into assets. And when she was at the top of her career, Phyllis Diller made over $1 million a year. And in the 1960s, that was a lot of money. If any of you remember Phyllis Diller, she wasn't good looking. And she did have a scratchy voice. But she could make people laugh, even at her bad looks. Sir Michael Coster, the celebrated conductor of the 19th century, was holding a rehearsal as a mighty chorus rang out, accompanied by scores of instruments. The piccolo player, a little pint-sized flute, was thinking perhaps that his contribution would not be missed amid so much music. So he stopped playing. Suddenly the great leader stopped and cried out, "Where's the piccolo?" The sound of the one small instrument was necessary in the harmony, and the master conductor missed it when it dropped out. The point: to the conductor, there was no insignificant instrument in the orchestra. Sometimes the smallest, seemingly least important one can make the greatest contribution. And even if it doesn't seem to make that big a difference to the audience at large, the conductor knows it right away. And so when the church, the players and the instruments are diverse in different sizes, different shapes, different notes, different roles to play. But like the piccolo player, we often, our own sovereignty, decide that our contribution is not significant. Our contribution couldn't possibly make a difference. And so we quit. We stop playing. We stop praying. We stop giving. We stop doing. We drop out. But the conductor, Jesus Christ, notices. From our perspective, our contributions may be small, but it is crucial. Use the gift. Use the gifts. Use that which God has given to you. I don't know when I spend hours on a sermon that it will make a difference in anyone's life, but it's what God has called me to do. There was a time a few years ago when I thought maybe I would never make it back into the pulpit again. I attended church and the tears began to flow. I do not know all that God will do, but I know that we try and we try again. I don't know that if a teacher in a Sunday school class make in an effort to reach out to troubled students that it is going to make any difference in the long run. But I do know that it is better to try than not to try. When a person teaches a Sunday school class or goes to the trouble of singing in the choir or having to show up for rehearsal, there is no guarantee that their efforts will make God more real to individuals than not. But I do know that it's better to try than not to try. Do what you can where you are with what you have. Amen. In our meeting the other day, a statement was made that I had realized that I had completely gotten away from, and it's not typical for me. So during the singing of our last hymn, I'm going to remind you that these altars are open. And so if you want to come and to pray, please feel free to come. And maybe this morning you want to pray about God enabling you to use your talent or to reveal to you what your talent is or whatever, or to pray for your church or whatever. I'm going to open this altar as we begin to close down this service and invite you to come and to pray at this altar. Let us stand together, hymn number 581, Lord, Whose Love Through Humble Service. I would remind you that during the singing of the last hymn especially, and we'll try to make you be aware of it, it has always been my custom as pastor to reassure to individuals, churches, that the altar is open for you to come and to pray. And if you want me to come and pray with you, if you'll signal to me, then I will come. If not, it's your own private time. It's the only time during your week when people are singing and that we've heard the word proclaimed, and you may feel God tugging at your heart for a particular reason. It's just a moment for us, and it's our time. And you are more than welcome during the singing, especially of the last hymn, to come and to pray and to have your own private moment here at the altar. Join with me, please, in the responsive benediction as found in your bulletin. What does the Lord require of you as you go from this place? In the name of Jesus Christ, go to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do. In the name of Jesus Christ, go to serve God and your neighbor in all that you do.